Well, good morning, and glad you are here and thankful for you. I know that we have several out. It's fall break at Tech, and I don't know. Maybe Arkansas went in last night. Everybody celebrated real late, or whatever the case is. But anyway, but grateful that you're here. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today, whether in person or online this morning. I want to say a special welcome to you, and thank you for being here. We'd love to connect with you in person. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out. Also, wanted to mention to you, there is a QR code or information on the back of your bulletin, and you can simply text the word guest to that number. If you use your camera and the QR code, it'll pull that up for you, or it should. And then online, there's an online form if you would like to fill that out. It's a way for us to know who's a guest and connect with you. So thank you so much for being here. I want to encourage you to take note of your bulletin, different upcoming events and things that are happening in the life of our church. And one of those things, the main thing I want to highlight for you is our trunk or treat. That will be happening on the 27th of this month. That's a Sunday evening. We always do it the Sunday evening before Halloween, and so that night the information is there. It's from 5 to 6:30, and there are out front here, there are some sign-up sheets, and some of you, we've tried to reach out if you've done trunks in the past, and we're trying to work on that. So if you haven't heard back from us yet, but you would like, or you haven't heard from us yet, if you would like to sign up to volunteer to provide a trunk that night. There's also a lot of other ways that we need people to help serve with parking lot assistance. If you've been here before, you know, at least in the past, we've had a great turnout. And so we need a lot of people to help in a lot of different ways. And so just be aware of that. So if you'll sign up and volunteer to help serve in some areas or places that you can, that would really be of help. Also, we are collecting candy, and so thank you so much for those who have already brought candy. We're grateful for that, and we still have a long way to go because, Lord willing, we'll give away a lot that night, and so as you just have opportunity, you can bring that by the church. There's a tote over by the office area, if you will, where a lot of that is collected. If you just set it out on this desk or something like that, then we can collect that. That's fine. Or you can bring it by through the week, however works best for you. Okay. Also wanted to make note that you all gave through Dixie Jackson this past month and gave $3,250. And so thank you so much for that. And let me just share with you why, at least a small portion of why that's significant, why that's important. Yesterday was the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, what is called One Day, and you remember a few years ago, One Day, that One Day mission trip was here in Russellville. Yesterday, it was the central location was Jacksonville, North Little Rock, that area, and it was just a great day of ministry. I don't remember, somewhere around 1,400, 1,500 Arkansas Baptists came together to serve. We had a few of our folks, Kelvin went and served at a block party and just a great opportunity to serve in those communities. And then we got report late last night that at least the best we could tell, there were 432 people who indicated they prayed to receive Christ yesterday. Amen. Amen. And that's significant because your giving to Dixie Jackson directly goes to ministries just like that. And so I know sometimes it's hard because we have these different ministries we give to and don't always know what they do. But yesterday they helped provide a Bible to an individual who had prayed to receive Christ for the very first time. Yesterday you helped with providing an opportunity. A church did a no-sell yard sale, and I got a message last night that there was a grandmother that showed up. She was very first in line, had been waiting to get in, and she was there because her daughter had been murdered the day before, and so she had then become responsible for her grandchildren and had no clothes. And so she was the first in line yesterday at a no-sale yard sale to get kids for her grandkids and heard the gospel yesterday. And so you just never know, giving through opportunities like this, how that might be used for the advancement of the kingdom. Be praying, obviously, for that family. Be praying for these brand new believers in Christ. And so thank you so much for the way that you give and serve. All right, well, at this time, we want to begin to turn our focus to the Lord and to what He wants to do today. I'm excited about today, the message that the Lord's laid on my heart, and excited about singing worship this morning. But I don't know what your week or your weekend has been like, but maybe you... I don't know, being honest with you this morning, I got up this morning feeling a little bit tired. It was a long day yesterday. I'm excited to be here, but as I was just thinking about the focus time of prayer, Psalm 43, verses 1 through 3 says this, says, as the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? The psalmist says, my soul thirsts for you. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on in your day-to-day, but maybe you just sort of got here this morning, and you would say, Pastor Chris, I'm hungry for the Lord today. I need more of Him, not less. And my soul is thirsty for something from the Lord today. And I believe the Lord wants to minister to us today. I believe that God wants to do some things. I know that, you know, attendance-wise, we may be a little bit down today. But can I tell you this? That the Lord wants to meet with us today. He wants to meet with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to strengthen and encourage us. And so let's take just a few moments and fix our eyes on the Lord, sing to Him like there's no tomorrow, and see what the Lord wants to speak and do in and through us today. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. I thank You for all that You are and all that You do. Lord Jesus, I pray that today that we would be hungry for You. We would thirst for You. And God, I pray, if there's anybody here who doesn't know You, I pray You'd save them today. God, I pray for those that are down and out and struggling. God, You would strengthen and encourage them. Lord God, I pray that You would hide us behind Your cross. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, You be glorified in every aspect of the service. We love You and praise You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. If you would go ahead and stand with me.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through, 'cause my house was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ
away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John? Gospel of John, chapter 6. We are making our way through this particular gospel. And Jesus is revealing himself. He's making himself known, and he is serving the people. He's serving the multitudes. Last week, we spent time looking at and discussing the miraculous, that often the Lord Jesus does the miraculous so that he can do the miraculous, meaning that he healed the multitude, or he fed the multitudes in hopes of them understanding that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. And so oftentimes God does incredible things in our lives, not just to bring about healing or just to meet a need, but rather to meet our greatest need, and that is to know the Lord Jesus. And this morning I want to pause. We're going to continue our journey through the Gospel of John, and I was gearing up, going to preach the next section here, but there's this verse that sort of captivated me and caused me to pause, that I want to spend some time discussing and talking about. Now, many of you in this room, I would assume, and most likely you do know and realize, but in case you don't, let me talk about this in just a moment. We're going to read John chapter 6 and verse 15. But then I'm also going to have you flip over to the book of Matthew, and we're going to read a couple of verses that are describing this exact same event. See, there are four Gospels, what we refer to as Gospels, in the New Testament. Each one of those give their eyewitness account, if you will, of the life and ministry of Jesus' time on earth. And so they're not in chronological order, they're not in sequential order, any of that sort of thing, but they are four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. So because of that, you have some events that are talked about by every one of the Gospels. You have some that are talked about a few, and then you have some that are isolated to a Gospel. Now, whether we have one or multiple accounts, all of it is the Word of God, so it's all true, okay? But what we can do is there. So, for instance, last week talked about the feeding of the 5,000. There are multiple accounts of that, not just in the Gospel of John, but in other Gospels. Well, this morning, the text we're going to read, John 6:15, I'm preaching through the book of John. We're going to look and discuss that verse, but there are other passages. Matthew and Mark both talk about those events and then also make comment about similar to what we see in John chapter 6. And so what I want to do is we're going to read John chapter 6:15, and then we'll stand in a moment, read that, have you sit down. But then we're going to read the account from Matthew, and I want to spend most of our time looking and discussing from Matthew because he gives a few more details specific to this event, okay? All right, so if you found your place, John chapter 6, verse 15, if you will, stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that we truly would, even this morning, come back to the heart of worship and make sure that it is all about you. It's not about us. And so, God, I pray you'd teach us from your word, help us to learn, apply it to our lives, seek to make us more like you. I pray we'd respond to you. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Anoint me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Again, we have these accounts from this very event in other parts of Scripture in Matthew and Mark. So what I want you to do is you can kind of hold your place there in John, but go ahead and flip to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23. Now this is the same description, just from a different author and a different point of view, okay? But the same description, talking about the same event, as best we can tell, okay? And this is Matthew's account of that in verses 22 and 23. "Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there." This morning, I want to talk to you about getting alone. The title of the message is Get Alone. Now listen, we live in a culture and a day and time where this is really difficult, right? For a lot of different reasons. Technology can be tremendous. It can be a blessing. It's, you know, when I was in Africa the past few summers, one of the great things is every now and then I would get just enough signal and I could FaceTime and see my family, right? And visit with them, talk with them. One of the blessings of technology. And obviously, we could spend a lot of time talking about a lot of the negatives of technology, right? And how it's misused and all the things. But here's something I want us to think about just for a moment, is we live in a day and time where it is really hard for us to get alone and turn the things of the world off. I was just this week preparing for this message and looking up and some of the statistics of screen time for Americans. The average screen time for Americans is between 7 and 10 hours a day. 7 to 10 hours a day. Now I realize some here among us might say, "Those young people, I ain't get on what we got, right?" Well, the average screen time for those that are 65 and older is better than the national average. But it's somewhere between 5 and 7 hours a day, with 1 to 2 hours on phones and tablets. for senior adults. So, all of that to say, I think we could agree, generally speaking, we probably get maybe more, let's say more than enough, time on devices and screens, and whether it's TV or however the case may be, right? In just a few moments, I want us to look at some things that were a priority and important, and they were important to Jesus. And one of those things was him getting alone. Now, I fully understand there were no tablets in Jesus' day and smartphones. Yeah, I know, there's an insert dad preacher joke and Moses and tablets, and I get it, okay? All right? But I realize that the world looks a lot differently. But as I was reading through the Gospel of John and getting ready to roll right into our sort of next section, the next thing that John really focuses on is he's writing out, he's penning this gospel. But here's the reality, I believe with all my heart, and I believe most of you in this room do too, is that every word of the Word of God is inspired. And here as he's writing out this gospel, he takes a moment to hit pause and write out a detail that probably most of us, if we were writing similar account without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we might not make as much of a deal about it. Again, let's look back at John chapter 6, verse 15 for just a moment. And this is what it says. Therefore, so this is a transition. He had just fed the 5,000 and more. We talked about that last week. He fed the disciples, etc. So that is done. He has taught them. He's helped prepare them. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. I read that this week and go, man, we can't rush past that. Let me look and see what the other writers said about this. So now over to Matthew 14, 22 and 23. And Matthew even highlights it in a more significant way. And he says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Both of these writers, Mark and then Mark as a third, make comment about this. So I want to preach to you this morning, this message, Get Alone. The main idea is this: we need time alone with God to fulfill all that God has for our lives. You and I both need time alone with God for us to completely fulfill what God has for us. So the question is this morning, are you regularly spending time alone with God? One of my heroes of the faith, Dr. B. Gray Allison, the founding president of Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, and God used him in some great ways. One of the godliest men I've ever been around, one of the godliest, most efficient soul winners I've ever seen. And he said the single hardest thing for a Christian to do is to regularly spend time with God. And there's nothing necessarily to prove that. There's nothing factual I can say. But I can just tell you, after walking with the Lord now, nearly approaching 20 years, I can tell you, I believe that to be true. Because it's an everyday necessity. It's an everyday regular rhythm that we need. And so I want you to see three truths from, we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 14, but three truths I want us to see from the text this morning, okay? So number one, alone time with God must be a priority. Alone time with God must be a priority. So I want you to think about this. Jesus has been, he's been on the scene for a little bit now. And the Lord is, God is using him, and he's establishing him, and people are beginning to follow. The crowds are really beginning to follow him. Matter of fact, we just come off this moment where Scripture says there's 5,000 men there, which likely meant that there were somewhere between 10 and 20,000 people present. That Jesus takes this little bit of this lunch that this little boy has and uses it to feed the masses. But I want you to see what the scripture says here in verse 22. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. In John chapter 6, we read that Jesus sent them away because he knew they were about to come and make him king. Say, why in the world would Jesus do that? He has come to reign. He is supreme. After all, Revelation, he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Yes, but his purpose was not to be king of Jerusalem. His purpose was not to be king of Israel. That, in terms of the here and now, when he's there on earth, ultimately he is king. Why would he send them away? Why would he do this? Because he knew he had a greater purpose. But God was using him in an incredible way. Man, he had seen these incredible things happen and take place. And so I want you to see that he goes and spends time with God on the mountain, but it did not happen by accident. It did not naturally happen for him. Think about, can you just imagine the number of people lined up just to see Jesus? To get at his feet, to touch his garments, to get close to him, for all the reasons, whether it's healing, whether it's financial prosperity. You imagine the chaos, the buzz that Jesus caused because people were wanting to come and spend time with him, come and be around him, and come and get to know him. And so here what happens is that he understands that if I'm going to be with these, they need, he understood that even in his humanity, he needed to spend time with God. The Bible says he immediately sent them away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. This was not a one-off opportunity. This was not just something that Jesus did just this one time. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12 says, now it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Listen to me. I don't know where everybody's at this morning spiritually, but in a lot of ways, I think we've got the home team crowd here this morning. Most of you in this room, I got to spend time with you and have seen fruit and evidence of you walking with the Lord. And I would imagine most of us, we've had seasons in our life where we've spent more time with the Lord and been more focused, and seasons where we've maybe struggled a little bit more. But friend, can I just encourage you in this? That if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, fully God, yet fully man, if Jesus made it, if Jesus had time where he cleared his agenda to spend time with the Father, it's a pretty good example for us to follow. And he did it with purpose. It didn't happen by accident. He didn't just stumble into going, okay, well, I found a few minutes in my schedule. Let me just... No, it's with purpose. And so, friend, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, and you're struggling maybe with where God has you in life or what's going on in your heart and in your life and what His plan and purpose is for you. Can I just tell you this morning that Jesus spent time with God and it took great purpose. It took great purpose for him to do that. He didn't stumble into it. The Bible says that he sent everybody away and he made it a priority It was significant. And let me just say this, another hero of mine, Dr. Chuck Lawless, said this. He said that nobody defaults into godliness. Now chew on that a moment. Nobody defaults into godliness. Our flesh is constantly pulling us away from that. The flesh is constantly fighting godliness in your life. So how do you combat that? How do you get past that? Is that you've got to spend time with God. You need to spend some alone time with God. It's got to be a priority in your life. See, because here's the deal. We make time for what's important to us. Why did I start with talking about the screen time stuff? Because let me tell you something. I'm maybe as guilty, if not more guilty, than anybody in the room. It is easy for me to just swipe. And swipe, and swipe. And again, I'm not hating on technology. I'm just telling you. Did you know for an average reader that if you read every day, you spend 15 minutes reading the Bible every day, you read through the Bible in a year, that is 1/96th of your day. It's just got to be a priority for us, folks, to spend time with God. Number two, alone time with God must be with purpose. It's got to be a priority, but then it's got to have purpose. Notice verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself. What did he go to do? He went to pray. Went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So what is that? Yeah, I need to make spending time with God. When I get there, what do I do? When I carve out the time, what do I do? How do I spend that time? Number one, I think you ought to spend time reading the Word. Okay? Man, you want to hear from God? You want to know what God has to say? Then read the Bible. Okay? Secondly, spend time in prayer. For me personally, I try to read the Bible first and let the Spirit of God speak to me and direct my thoughts, and then I spend time praying. I don't think there's anything significant or magical about that, but we need to have time where there's purpose with me spending time with God. Man, I'm going to talk in a moment about silence and solitude and just sitting alone with the Lord. But for many of us, we need time where we're sitting at the feet of God, reading the Word of God, and spending time in prayer. Luke 9:18 and says it happened as he was alone praying. His disciples joined him and asked him, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? Acts 6:4 talks about the priority of spending time with God in reading and studying His Word and in prayer for the apostles that were leading as God was moving. And the Bible says in Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves, this is the apostles saying. You remember, they raised up the deacons to serve, so why? So we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Listen, as a pastor, this is vital to me. You've heard me say this. I believe the most important job that I have and function as I have as a pastor is to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. I believe that's the most important thing that a pastor does. Now, it's not the only thing he should do, and it's not the only part of the role, okay? But here's the reality. If I'm going to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God and study and all those sorts of things, the only time I get alone with God cannot be when I'm trying to read the Word of God saying, God, give me a message for them. Why? Because I need the Word. I need God shaping me and forming me and making me into what He wants me to be. Because listen to this, I'm a Christian follower of Christ first before I'm a shepherd. And so I need time while I'm spending time with the Lord. I need time where it's alone. And you as a Christian, you need time. It has to be our priority. And then when you spend time with God, it's got to be with purpose. I need to spend time at His feet. I need to spend time reading the Word. Spend time in prayer. And then number three, alone time with God needs a place. There's priority, there's doing it with purpose, and then you need a place. And maybe not in the way that you think. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. I don't know that the mountain is as important about the place as being alone. You follow what I'm saying? I don't think you have to go home this afternoon and go find the drive up a mountain somewhere and find a rock and go, okay, this is the place. I'm going to come here every day and get on the rock. Now, if that's what God tells you to do, then you do that, okay? But more than just being on the mountain, it's being alone, spending time alone with God. I know for some that may be easier than others. But I just think about our culture. Our culture right now, I mean, it's just so busy. So incredibly busy. Most of us, we have some kind of music going on most of the time, or the TV's on in the background, or whatever it is. But friend, can I just encourage you? You need time alone with God. Now, getting ready, obviously our children are at a different stage of life now, but I'm getting ready to preach this, and I'm thinking about just a few years ago, my wife and all these children's running around, right? And so me standing here and saying, hey, you need to get alone with God, and about her only alone time as if she'd just go to the bathroom and shut the door, right? Lock them out, go hide behind the bedroom. So sometimes I get it for mamas and people in different stages of life, and that can be a lot harder than others. I talked with some of this recently about some of our college students that live in a dorm, live on campus and in a dorm. It's really hard on a college campus to find an alone spot. I told them, man, you got to go drive to the park and sit in your car. Dear friend, you need to find a place where you can be in the presence of God. And to be honest with you, you need to read, you need to pray. But I'm wondering, when was the last time you just sat in silence and in solitude and just sat alone with God? I know some of you may even begin to make you feel uncomfortable, go, as if some sort of mysticism or something, but I do think that silence and solitude is missing for a lot of us, particularly in our culture. We're uncomfortable with silence, aren't we? You're a little bit uncomfortable now. But I just wonder. Listen, I'm not at all a medical doctor or psychologist by any means. But I know we live in a day and time where anxiety is high and depression. And I think part of that, I really do believe this. I really believe part of that is it's today's day and culture. We have something going all the time. And there really was something. Now, all of it wasn't sitting alone with God, but there really was something to an older generation sitting on in a rocking chair on the front porch and just being still. And so I just want to encourage you. Jesus, at the height of ministry, fed thousands, made it a purpose, said, okay, time to go. Got them sent away, went over to the disciples, said, okay, hey, I need you to get in the boat and take off. What was the conversation like? What is he going to do? What's happening now? Send him away. Jesus makes the trek back up the mountain. He just sits alone with God. So friend, I don't know. Some in this room, it may be easier. Some, it may be harder. Some may be overwhelmed with a lot of emotion. Maybe you've been really depressed. Maybe you've been really anxious. And I'm not telling you at all, again, I'm not a medical doctor or psychologist. I have no idea whether you might need medical intervention. But I am willing to say, I think for a lot of folks, self-included, I'll be transparent with you. There's been times recently where, man, just things and just been overwhelmed. And oftentimes what I need most is just to go find a place. Spend time with God. Hey, do you remember this verse? Be still and know that He is God. When's the last time you were still? No music, no entertainment. Just you and the Lord. So I was preparing for this and thought about this, Exodus 24, and thinking about a place. Thought, obviously, going up to a mountain and spending time with God, I don't know what you think of first, but I think of Moses. Exodus 24, verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. See, I've often heard of people talking about, man, Pastor, I want a mountaintop experience. Man, I want that burning bush. I want that mountaintop experience. Or I want that moment where Moses, man, he saw the Lord. And then that just incredible moment on the mountain. And here's what I wonder. Most of us, I think, if we ask, would you want that mountaintop experience? Probably most of us in this room would raise our hands. Man, I want that kind of moment. It changes your life forever. But what we don't remember is that Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us want the mountaintop experience without the mountaintop investment. And so he got alone with God. You remember Elijah? Elijah came off his greatest victory of ministry. Elijah on Mount Carmel, one of my favorite stories in 1 Kings chapter 18. And the prophets of Baal, and it's 450 verse 1. And this back and forth. And man, God shows up and he intervenes and he works, does this incredible thing. And next thing you know, Elijah is running and he's hiding. And God picks him up, restores him. Even the ravens feed him, right? 1 Corinthians 19, he's there. He's at the end. He's ready to die. He's trying to die. 1 Kings 19, 11, 12, that says this. Then he said, God told Elijah this, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Friends, I'm afraid we haven't heard from the Lord in a while because there's a lot of earthquakes and rain and fire. Music's on. Streaming is on. Life is busy. And we've just not sat and been alone with the Lord for a while. And so I'm pleading with you. I'm encouraging you. For those of you that are, I mean, obviously this is heavy geared towards those who know Christ. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an invitation in a moment, give you a chance to come and respond to the Lord for salvation. But those of you that are believers, my challenge to you is this. That at least a couple times this week, carve out 30 minutes, read the Bible, pray, and sit alone with God. Turn everything off. Do the best you can to find a quiet spot. If you got to sit in your car, if you got to drive up on the mountain, find some time and sit alone with God. And see if God won't meet you there. God won't minister to you. Because I believe He will. We need time where we get alone with God. Why did Jesus get alone with God? He departed. He left there because they were going to come and try to make Him king immediately. And He knew He had a greater purpose for that. He had to go and get alone with God so that He would be able to fulfill what God had for Him. Dear friend, I don't know whatever is going on in your life. I don't know what stage of life you're in. But I can tell you this. For you to fulfill all that God has for you, you need time alone with God. So do I. So I'm going to ask if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. The invitation is simple this morning. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do so today. Pray right where you're at and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. When we pray in just a moment, I'm going to invite you and challenge you to come. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and gave my heart and life to Jesus today. Or I've got questions. I want to know how to do that. When I finish praying, I'm going to be standing down front. I'm inviting you to come in. For the rest of us in the room, those of you that know that you're believers, you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you've been saved. I just wonder if God's spoken to your heart this morning. Whenever I pray, I'm going to invite you to come and spend some alone time just for a moment before the Lord. And just confess, God, I needed that today. Help me. Help me to spend time with you. Help me to carve out time. I need more of you, not less. Whenever I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to come for salvation, you come. If you're a believer and you just want to come and get before the Lord, man, let's do that. God in heaven, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to you. God, I pray for those who don't know you. I pray, God, you give them boldness to come even now for salvation. God, I pray they'd repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. God, give them grace to be saved. And God in heaven, I pray for those that are believers in this place. God, I pray that they would come, kneel before you. God, we confess we need more of you and not less. Speak to us even now. Give us boldness. I pray in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, if you want to come and kneel at this altar, you come. Man, if you need to come and talk about salvation, you come this morning. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. However God stirred in your heart this morning, you move and you come now.
Things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains a cornerstone. The things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You caused your Son shine on the darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. Have found their home. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary head and you make us strong instead. You took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one hearts adore. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts know. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one.
Amen. Well, thank you for being here. And again, just want to challenge you. Spend time with the Lord this week. Carve out at least a few times, 30 minutes. Do your best to find time every day, if you can, and spend time with the Lord. And so, hey, always know that I'm trying to make myself as available as I can. If you need anything, I hope that you'll reach out, and I'll try to serve you and your family any way that I can. I thank God for you. I love you, and thank God for the privilege to serve. And so as we get ready to leave today, we will be taking up our regular tithes and offerings. And just thank you so much for your faithfulness to give and to do the work of the ministry that God has called us to do here. And so if you struggle with salvation or need to talk in any way, I'll hang around and love to visit with you. If you're a guest, thank you again so much for being here. Well, let's stand, and we're going to pray and be dismissed today, and thankful for you, and Lord willing, hope to see you Wednesday, okay? All right, let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that in all things we would exalt you. I pray, God, you would use this offering to advance your kingdom. Lord, help us to be good stewards of what you've entrusted to us individually, and help us be good stewards as a church family. Lord, I pray that you go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. Lord, thank you for the example you've set for us, and help us to spend time with you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I am standing on the promises of God.